I'm not criticizing them. You know, it's their life. They can do what they want. And many people criticize me for being involved with the station at any level because they say you're just wasting your time. And maybe they're right. But I'm doing the show every week. You know, coming in here and then finding I don't have my stuff and then racing out. Do you know, Bob, I restarted that damn thing that I started with this morning and it was all there. I didn't have to go home at all. Oh, well, it was an interesting thing to do. You know, it made me feel revitalized, got a little bit of adrenaline going for the show. It was all worth it. We got to a lot of the material that we were thinking of getting to. But what Tom's talking about, and it's his experience, and, I'm sort of precluded, I guess, from discussing what went on last week. I don't know why, but I think I've looked over all the documents I have, all of the restrictions. Do you know I have a document? Tom, you might be interested in this. Do you know I have a document about the rules and so on about this station that say that you shouldn't be on the air right now?
What?
Yep. So I've got a document that was written by a former employee. I believe they're a former employee. They're not here anymore. But a former employee of this organization that said that there was only one show, one program that was allowed to take calls from listeners. All other calls had to go to the news director phone line, message line. That there was only one program on this station that would be allowed to accept calls. Can you imagine that? Danny was playing that. It was read that for me this week, and I think I'd read it before, but it's just unbelievable.
Well, it's not unbelievable because it did happen in New York City. There was a woman, the leader of the coup d'état at the radio station, was named Denise, and Denise was the only one allowed to speak about the troubles at the station. No one else, not even callers, were allowed to discuss troubles at the station except Denise. And Denise was the dictator of the station. A very similar situation to what we have today at CKLN. I have a right to speak to the station. I have a right to speak on CKLN because I'm a community member. So do students. Students have a right to speak. Everybody has a right to speak. And they cannot deny democracy at CKLN. If they do that, then they're going to run into people like me.
Right. I was there in New York. I was part of that whole WBII battle.
Yes, it was quite a battle. It went on almost for 18 months.
That's right.
We finally won. Why we won? Because we organized. The Americans organized. They organized on a daily basis, weekly basis, whatever it took. And finally, they set up new rules, democratic rules to govern the station. I wish some of these governing board members should go to New York City and to see that the procedures that were established to prevent another coup d'etat by right-wing reactionaries.
Tom, listen to this. The people that took over and had a counter-coup, they became a coup. That led to problems. That led to Amy Goodman leaving the station and hijacking $500,000, blah, blah, blah. And Greg's talked about Amy Goodman. A lot of bad things came out of the new group. And when you want to organize here, there's already a parallel board. There's already a whole bunch of people who don't recognize management. And none of them realize it's a business.
Well, it's what it is. What's going on? And I lost you there for a minute. Something fell down on the board, and I couldn't hear any of you. But yeah, the thing is that I don't know how many people are listening. There are about five people listening out there. I don't know how many people are hearing what we're saying and how much it'll even matter what we say, frankly. But the thing is that for those of you that are interested in community radio, well, you know, this is your station. And if you're happy to turn it on and there's stuff there and the transmitter's still working and somebody's playing some music or somebody's talking and you just need sounds and you think that's it, well, you know, that's fine. I'll accept that. For a lot of people, that's what radio is. It's something you just flick on and keep on as you're wandering around your house or you're on the bus and you're listening to it or somewhere. That's what it is to you. It doesn't really matter how it's made or what's being broadcast, you know, the content of it. It's just if it's there.
The station is not going to be there anymore soon, according to the pamphlet given out by management.
Well, I saw an interesting thing here today that I guess it's going to be an announcement that they're not accepting any funds for fundraising. They're at the moment they're not fundraising anymore. I haven't a clue. If you pay your pledge that you made during FunFest, then you can be involved in this grand prize draw. But as of now, from what I've read on an announcement here, they're not raising money. I don't get it. But
I do get it. It's the privacy of democracy. The reason I was able to attend that meeting is because I contributed a certain amount to the station, and
right.
Now, if I can't even do that and earn the right to actively participate as a community member at the AGM, then it's a sign that they are aiming down the undemocratic path, obviously.
Well, I did speak to a few of my listeners that had not paid as yet or had paid later than a certain deadline, which is October 27th, and I wondered, well, what are they then? If they do pay and the money is accepted and they're in this grand prize draw, so they're in a grand prize draw. But are they a member of the station after that? I just don't know. It's confusing to me. And evidently, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. There's no information forthcoming. Tom's a member. I'm a member by virtue of what I'm doing. So anyway, the bottom line is, and I don't even know what I can say about this AGM. It happened. It's not exactly a public meeting. It's a meeting of members. And to describe it would be, I don't know. It's inexplicable what happened there. I'd roll off into ranting, I think, if I tried to describe it. And maybe it's not worth doing. It's just that the bottom line is, for those of you that listen, that care, that like this program or whatever, in the future, you have to be smart about your involvement. I'll try and keep you more and better informed about how your involvement can count if you want it to count. And counting means literally being counted,
right,
in a meeting and showing up at an appointed time and being involved in discussions, if those discussions are allowed. And then if they're not allowed, then you have to do something about it, I guess. And
it's when good people do nothing that evil triumphs. And I think...
Tom, do you understand there's a lot of, quote, good people who already are protesting? They protested this meeting outside the Alma Comba, right, Greg?
There were people protesting outside, yes.
Yeah, that's
and how do you know who's good or bad in that
people
situation,
in that crowd.
None of those
that,
people who were part of the movement, Tom, was like part of.
Hold on. Wait. If you're both talking, I'm sorry that you both can't hear each other so that...
No, I can hear him. I can hear him.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to say this sentence, and then I'll let Tom talk.
Yeah.
Is that the people, a movement to stop the tyrannical nature of the management that some people think is happening, exists, and those people don't like Greg. So, Tom, what group are you going to join?
Well, obviously, we have to struggle amongst ourselves to sort all this out. This is why we need a community of supporters to meet on a regular basis to struggle amongst ourselves, to come to a higher level of consciousness and support for the station. That comes look, we have to struggle. I mean, we're not all going to agree. I was very disturbed because one of those guys on the outside who was not allowed in the meeting was a guy by the name of Don Weiss, a guy who I've listened to and I've learned from about electric shock treatment and all that. I've learned a lot from that guy, and I respect him tremendously, and it hurt me deeply to have to cross his picket line to go to this AGM meeting. Because he's a very intelligent, very well-informed guy, and he's a great teacher. He taught me a lot about mental problems and the reason why I should support their movement here in the Toronto area. So when people like that are locked out, either because they can't afford to pay the $50 or for whatever reason, then that bothers me. And I think we should all get together and struggle with each other, yes, but struggle in a positive way to come to a higher level of understanding. And I think that is possible because we're intelligent people. We have a passionate commitment to the station. And I think it's It must be done.
Well, Tom, let me just intervene here for a moment in your talk here. I think one of the problems that exists, and I guess it's amongst all people trying to work out difficulties, especially if they have a history together, is trying to sort out what happened before. Being responsible. Now, in the past, in areas like in South Africa, for instance, they had these they'd have these conferences where they would get people together and try and deal with the past about apartheid, for instance, right? I can't remember, what would they call them? Do you know those meetings that they would have? Reconciliation meetings and such? Oh, yes. Is that what they called them?
That's right. Peace and reconciliation.
Right. This is what's really required here, surprisingly and amazingly, and amongst this small group of people. A lot of the people are, I'm afraid to say, are living a bit of a lie. And they are unable to understand the history of things. A lot of information was kept from people over the years. They lived in their own little box, their own little show, for instance, and really didn't know what was going on in the whole operation. And in that vacuum, they developed ideas and concepts and then hold on to them, even though they're not really accurate. And that becomes a problem. Accuracy in what has led us to this point becomes a problem in going forward, because you have rifts between individuals who believe that the others have done some horrible crime for which they need to be vanquished, and where the lies or the untruths or the ignorance, let's say, to use it in the best term, the lack of knowledge about what actually has brought us to this point of so much friction. It requires almost someone from the outside to learn about what happened, have data to go through, and then work with the various people to calm them down and actually instruct them about what happened. The thing is that what I find is that in this whole situation, nobody wants to bring in a third party. No one wants to bring in anybody who no one wants to bring in CNN International, for instance, the adult journalists. They don't want to bring anybody in. It's all operating. A lot of it is operating on sort of deeply held ideological beliefs and about, you know, patterns of democracy as they understand it and so on. And it's a very difficult milieu to even discuss things with people, because they even deny things that they did or deny meetings they went to or participated in. It's extremely strange, and there's just this wall up around everybody where everybody's in a faction, and but I think ultimately there's sort of, as in anything, there's a fight for power, for ultimate power, and unquestioned power over how media is done. I saw something last night. I'm sorry to be going on here, but I saw something last night about the Smothers Brothers. It was a very good program, and I wished I'd got I missed a few minutes of it, and I didn't have time to watch the whole thing, although I was fascinated by the portions that I saw. The Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour was a program that was made between 1967 and 1969, and it was probably one of the most heavily censored programs that's ever gone out over American television. It was during the Vietnam War. It was raging. It forged the transition between Lyndon Baines Johnson and Richard Nixon as president. And this program discussed how certain things were not allowed to be said over the air. That Lyndon Johnson would get together with the head of CBS, they'd sit around on a Sunday night, literally together, and watch the Smothers Brothers, and then notes would be sent out almost immediately to the CBS head of production to go and talk with these people out in California to make sure that some of the material would never happen again. And this is Daniel and I have experienced this kind of thing where there's a whole people are jumping out of their chairs at something that was said on the program. I mean, I'm sure that it'll happen about what we're talking about now. And it shows how – and I thought that was 40 years ago all this was going on the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, and where they would bring up topics, topical things, and where everybody – the people who ran – who felt that they owned that media were being challenged by people – who were working on this program, who were saying, you know, I've been brought up with the idea that we live in freedom. I mean, I've heard on this station, one of the people, who shall remain nameless, says that we all have freedom, we just have to exercise it. Yet it appears as if you try to exercise it, you're a problem. You're not part of the quote-unquote, you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And I've actually had that thrown at me. So this guy, Mason Williams, who wrote a music – some people might know him as a composer. He wrote a piece of music called Classical Gas, I think, that was a big hit in – I think it was called that in the late 60s. He was a writer on the Smothers Brothers.
He said,
look, we've been brought up with all these ideas that about the Constitution and that we're free – we have freedom of speech and freedom of action and so on. Well, I'm going to test that. I'm going to test that with this television program. And I get the feeling sometimes that we're doing that with this radio program.
Absolutely.
And it isn't appreciated. Again, you hit this wall of people who feel that they can say whatever they want to say, but
well,
you can't.
Greg, for us to struggle amongst ourselves over our opposing ideas, it's all part of the natural human condition. It cannot be avoided. Jesus Christ couldn't assemble 12 men without one being a Judas. It's just a natural part of our condition as human beings. But you must take it in a positive way as well. As a result of struggling with each other, you a progressive and me a reactionary, for instance, we can come to a high level of understanding, a high level of consciousness, and that's how we grow. We grow through struggle. The escaped slave once said to Frederick Douglass, he says, power concedes nothing without a demand. And for us to get to the stage where we can demand a more inclusive, democratic CKLN will take struggle among us. I met a young woman on that line, and I had a very good discussion with her because she was protesting against me going in to that meeting. And she asked me for my name, telephone number, and address, and she says, I enjoyed discussing with you, even though I disagree with you. I would like to keep in touch with you. She said to me, she would like to keep in touch with me to see if we can come to some kind of understanding. And this young woman was absolutely right. She hears somebody, so don't be so pessimistic about our ability and intelligence to form a support committee for.
No, I'm not pessimistic. I'm open to it. In fact, I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm ahead of you, but I'm along a parallel track. And I was talking with someone recently who's been at the station for a long time, and when I brought up the idea that we should be having more say in what's going on, or should be educating ourselves, or have the ability to gather together, this person said, "Well, what do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, I just want to have a meeting with people. I want to meet with other people that do programs on this show, my fellow members, my fellow programmers and so on. I want to meet with them." Yeah, I want to. Yeah, and I thought, isn't it amazing that there's suspicion attached to that? Why is there suspicion? Because 10, 11 years ago, there was some almost like a Holocaust that happened here, some calamity that occurred that everybody is frightened of having happen again. They make out that you can't actually have any opposing view to what's going on, because if you do, it's like what happened 11 years ago. And I'm not even sure what happened 11 years ago. I've read documentation on it, and it seemed like a battle over identity politics more than it was about governing a radio station. And I certainly don't think that the most important thing fundamentally about this station is any particular type of politic. It's politics is diverse, and evidently we're supposed to present diverse ideas. And I don't have any problem with any politic being presented or talked about.
But they're fanatic, or we're fanatic about being alternative to the mainstream media.
Yeah, and now the mainstream media occasionally is alternative. And so it gets confused. Yeah. So the thing is that you have to actually present as an artist would present things a lot of the time, although there can be exaggerations in art, but even those exaggerations show up a certain level of reality. And that's what we should be presenting, about something real. Like sometimes you hear people on the radio that are trying to make themselves out to be nice, like nice people, caring thoughts, they're just the salt of the earth. And then you hear them off the air and they're hateful people. And I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but the thing is, let's be real. I think that's what to be genuine. I think that is what often doesn't go on in the mainstream media, a genuineness, although sometimes it does. But
we don't know what's genuine anymore in this media of confusion.
No, it's hard to tell. But when you come to a meeting, let's say you listen to CFRB, you don't get to go to a meeting of all the programmers, all the radio hosts, and sit around. You can't become a member of that and be a part of how CFRB or CHFI or all those stations. You don't get to go to a meeting where John Tesh is there. The thing is that
corporations, Greg, there's the confusion. CKLN is also a corporation pretending to be community.
Right, it's a corporation. Right, it's a corporation that has a level of community involvement, community financial support, and so on.
But
so,
it's
so you get to, if you're involved in it, you get to see, let's say, me, Greg Duffel. You can see, you can forge your own opinion of me in person. Not one as put out on the radio that may or may not be a fully formed idea. Because one of the guys who is a donator to the show and who was at the meeting last week, he's having a hard time putting together the audio Greg and the visual Greg. It looks different to him. Daniel looked okay, but the Greg voice and the Greg image are something that he can't forge together, almost like you're trying to, one of those viewmasters trying to bring together the three-dimensional image in your eye, bringing those two pictures together to form a three-dimensional one in your mind.
It's a microcosm of Wall Street. They're saying that the government bailout is socialism. Now, CKLN represents a community, but it's a business. It cannot reconcile the two dynamics.
Yes, well, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's that has been the struggle over a long period of time. Are people trying to create almost a wall around it as if it operates in its own world and that isn't related to the outside world? But that's
so that doesn't get. The whole battle is over. Remember, Jerry Belanger had the whole problem of being the ad guy, and then there was a political correctness about what ad you got.
Right, right. Then what kind of money can you take? What's dirty money? And and then you find out it's all dirty money. It's all coming from the same place. All the money is emanates from an identical point. And then you have let's say the one of the student newspapers here. It runs ads for the Canadian military. It gets money from Ryerson through the student levy and so on, and it runs ads from the military. Can you imagine if we started playing ads for the Canadian military on here? All hell would break loose. Now, I'm not – that's one thing I wouldn't advocate if there were advertisements for the Canadian military. I find that disgraceful. But, I'd have a problem with that. But then again, maybe there are other people in this organization would say, hey, take the money. Why not?
Yeah. So what does Tom say to that aspect of business? I mean, Tom's a socialist, I think.
Oh, I'm a socialist, but I got involved on an activist basis because I, over the years, listened to International Connection and other programs that I enjoy, and I kind of enjoyed the station. But then when my favorite program was arbitrarily removed by a corrupt management, and I was deprived of that Sunday morning program, I got really pissed off. So who gave them the right to arbitrarily remove, undemocratically, people who that I supported financially and politically in every which way? So as a result of my involvement, I have learned so much about the management of CKLN, and I've also learned a lot about the listeners. And I am confident that there are enough of us out there listening to this program and other progressive programs on CKLN who have the intelligence and the vision to get together and start to struggle to challenge reactionary policies and ideas within the management. We, the students, community members, and volunteers, we have a treasury of potential. We have the ability to transform that station, if only we knew how. And I don't have all the answers.
You don't know how. You have to get on the board.
Well, we've already elected two progressive representatives on the board, and we can build on that over the years. But it all takes organizing, and I think we have the intelligence and the capability of organizing. I've met enough people now to know that there are intelligent listeners in this audience, and they are capable of extraordinary things, ordinary people producing extraordinary things. So
if you want to know more corruption, Tom, how do you know the people who have been elected as community reps are going to have any say on the board?
No, it's a struggle. It's a struggle, and it's an ongoing struggle, and it never ends. When I'm 125 years old, the struggle will continue. That's part of the human condition, and we must dialectically recognize that and deal with it in a very intelligent way. Not to go killing each other or fighting each other, but struggling with each other at intellectual level. It may come to blows one day, but that too is part of history.
I think it's...
Stop complaining, Greg.
I think
this struggle you're involved in is dynamic. Would you stop complaining about everybody hating you?
All right. Sorry, Tom, I missed that.
No, I think I've said enough.
Yes, okay. All right, well, thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate your call.
Before I leave for Venezuela next February,
right.
I will give all I can once I retire from my night job and devote to helping to turn CKLN into a truly democratic, transparent organization. We can do it. Let's do it.
Good.
We can do it.
Thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate that. That's Tom, who's a member of our station. Many of you out there are members of the station. My name's Greg Duffel. This is the International Connection. We're going over length today.
Rebecca hasn't come in?
Nope. I don't see anybody. So we'll carry on until such time as someone comes in through the door and deems to arrive at the station. But we'll carry on. And I'm Bob Dobbs. Bob Dobbs is with me as well. He's phoning in from Hawaiki and from Maui. Is that right, Bob?
Yep, Maui.
Yeah.
Jim the Catholic from North Carolina just signed off.
He did.
He's been listening for many, many hours.
Really? He was listening?
Yeah. Well, he was. He just signed off the chat portal.
Oh, but we don't know. He's listening to the radio station.
Oh, he was listening. He got on. He goes, I am listening to the radio station. Is this your station? I go, yes. And he goes, cool. He didn't even know we were on the radio. So how did he find the chat portal?
He just arrived there totally by accident.
Yeah.
Just to explain to the audience, Bob and I are up on a little portal that if I lose Bob or if he needs to send me a little message over the internet typed, it's like texting. We're texting together, me and Bob. And it's on. It's a dedicated section that we've created that Daniel has put together. But and we used to use it when we were doing the show. If you went to our website, you could actually go to this what we called the Comrades Community Chat Portal, the CCCP. Get it? And people could go on there, and sometimes we'd have quite a few people there that would be having a whole conversation while we were doing the program. It was almost – the show was immaterial to them. They were all involved with each other, and then sometimes they'd chime in or they'd send a link of something, and we'd go to a link. It was very interactive and interesting, at least for us. I don't know about for the listening audience that's sitting there just with a radio and no computer. But it's on what's called an IRC network, Internet Relay Chat. and people can sort of piggybacks on that infrastructure. And what happens is you sign into that thing, and our area would be listed in this as a channel, and some people can just go in there and look for people. They're looking for people to chat with. And this guy, Jim the Catholic, he came in from North Carolina, and then he ended up listening to the program. So if you want to get on the Comrades Community Chat Portal, if you want to do that, send me an email, internationalconnection@rogers.com, and state that specifically, and I'll give you the link. And every Sunday you can come on, and you can be there with us as we're typing little things to each other and spy in on the program.
Right. Now, what's funny is Jim the Catholic did not know this portal was connected to radio station. So he gets on the radio station, and then he hears this dastardly corruption going on.
And then he goes, I got to get out of here. I don't want to take any. I don't want to take any responsibility for this. I'm out.
No, I think you like Tom. And as soon as Tom hung up, he hung up.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, right at that same time, he teaches fifth grade math and science.
Hmm.
Now, that's Jesse Helms' territory.
Yeah, I might not have liked some of the things we were saying.
Yeah.
So, well, that was quite a call from Tom. Nothing I can really argue with him about that. Obviously, this is your station, or should be, and it can be taken in whatever direction that I guess it should be. That the well, you're right, Bob. It's the board. It's the board that controls it. It's
yeah,
the board that hires the people that run it, and
it is not your station, listener.
No, it really, yeah, in a way it isn't. It can be, but it depends on how representative any one particular person on the board is of the community as such, and how accountable they are to that community. And what happens usually is that community representatives are elected, and then the community as such never hears from them. In fact, a lot of people don't even know they have a representative. But if you write me at internationalconnection@rogers.com, if you're a member or if you're just interested and you feel that you are a community member of this radio station, just write to me and I'll make sure that you get, I'll get you in touch with your actual community representatives on the board. If you're so interested. I mean, it may be, you may not be interested at all, but I'll do that. So we're going to take a call. You're on the air.
Hi, Greg.
Yes.
Sonia Popovich. I also attended the meeting.
Yes, okay. Hi, Sonia.
Hi. And I thought it was, I think one of the ways that we can take control of the station and actually impact the board is by attending board meetings. So I noticed we had four candidates who wanted to be community members on that board.
Right.
Last Sunday night.
That's right.
And the two that were successfully elected were both people who had been to previous board meetings.
Yes.
And perhaps that helped sway people's votes.
Is that me?
But I think it's important that people go to board meetings because I have attended a few and there have been very few participants there. And it's important to be able to listen to the board and to be able to offer suggestions. And perhaps the board will also branch out and create various committees so more community members can get involved.
Right. Sonia, Greg's just taking a call on the third line. But
oh, I wasn't
supposed to do
this with
you. Were you as upset by the way management ran the meeting as Tom was?
Did you hear Bob?
Sonia,
are you there?
I'm here.
Did you hear Bob?
I have put my radio off, right?
So that you can only hear it through. Yeah, we're in a delay, so yeah. You can hear us only through the telephone.
Yeah, so then it's not loud enough on the.
It's
telephone.
Not loud enough. Let
I'm
me
not
see
picking
if
it up.
You're not picking Bob up.
No.
Bob is just saying, were you? What was your feeling about the way that the meeting was handled?
It wasn't a very harmonious family.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were a lot of questions that perhaps didn't need to be asked.
Like what? Like what didn't need to, are you talking specifically about me?
Or they could have been asked.
Are you asking specifically about me? The questions I brought up.
I think sometimes you brought up a few too many.
Like what? Well, I was asking the same questions throughout the whole meeting.
Right.
I was only asking one question.
Okay. Yes, you were only asking one question, and it just it just didn't accomplish much.
But do you understand? But do you understand why that question was important?
I think there are a number of questions that are important.
Do you understand why that one is specifically important, given what we were told? I mean, I don't. You're making out that there's a certain level of understanding that
you have
to come to. That is required to understand when you hear a question being asked. You have to go, well, why would someone ask that question?
Why would someone
demand an answer to it?
Great.
And so
you're either thinking that I'm someone that is just going to talk for the sake of hear myself speak, or there was a point to it, and it was a point in that meeting.
What was the question? The
question was, who was the treasurer of the organization during a particular period of time?
That's an important question.
I think that's an important question.
Yeah, I've been on a number of boards that are volunteer boards, much like CKLN's board.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's a struggle to make things happen. And it's unfortunate that more people don't get involved and that people don't set up.
Well, you're getting off topic.
Well, no.
You're getting totally off topic here.
You're
providing an excuse.
I'm not providing an excuse.
Okay.
I thought your whole, your entry this morning, the opening of your show, was very good and very, you know. But I also think that we could work together a bit more.
Yes, but the question was, I understand, who's the treasurer? And one of the staff management gave the answer, and another person who was part of the former board said, no, don't say that. That's not the right answer. The management couldn't even agree on who the treasurer was.
Wow.
That's irresponsible.
They were poorly prepared for the meeting, yes.
Yes. I assume, Greg, you don't want to comment.
And we asked for the same way they didn't have an agenda, right? But that has to be worked out, and that has to be, you need more bodies to make things happen and more people.
Oh, you've got the wrong, you've got the wrong idea here.
Right.
You're off in another world.
I'm sorry to say that. And
but why are you saying that, Greg? What's wrong with the agenda?
Because we've got 150 some odd volunteers at this place. Well, how could there not be enough people to do something?
Greg, why aren't those volunteers showing up at the board meeting? Why didn't they show up at the AGM?
Because the thing is that were you present on October 29th?
I missed that meeting.
Okay. Now, when meetings are called and where nothing gets accomplished, where not even a meeting occurs, when people take time out of their day, I phoned one of our listeners to come down on October 29th. They come down and they see some kind of mayhem going on. That's discouraging to people.
And
the thing is, that's what you do this enough times and you narrow it down to very few people being interested. It's like the boy who cried wolf. So you just go, well, is it not going to happen this time? And by all accounts, it may not have happened that time. That's why you have a lack of interest. But I've seen you at a board meeting. You've come out to a board meeting. You have maybe, I'm not sure how many items that you're specifically interested in. It seems like you have one major area of interest in all of this, or one area that you are focusing on and think is important. But I've seen you at a board meeting. It's very rare that anybody would come to a board meeting. Why would that be rare? Because we don't actually get emails about board meetings.
Well, apparently that's going to change, right?
I don't know.
And I'm actually going to make sure that it happens and that people know right on the website that the board meetings are going to be every second or third Thursday. I think they've worked that out. And they will publicize that. They have to.
Well,
and they should also have the new board members even listed on their site now, right? And I'm not saying the site is the answer, but
I understand that. Yeah. The thing is, this has been going on for quite a long period of time. Ever since I've been here, we're going on 8 years now, uh-huh. Almost nine. The apathy that was generated by the people who ran it about having board meetings, it's like they'd given up. They didn't want anybody at a board meeting. They didn't want anybody seeing anything.
Greg, I know that because I phoned repeatedly every month and asked them to tell me when the next board meeting was.
When did you start doing that?
September. And they and well, then and, I but, finally got an apology saying that, well, you know, so many of them have been in camera. Well, the whole meeting can't be in camera. And, so I understand what you're saying there, and I think it's worth trying to save CKLN. And
well,
I think...
Do you get the impression that I don't want to?
No.
Okay.
But I think we have to work together a bit.
Well, I haven't. But have you? But have you ever got in touch with me?
No.
Why?
I actually didn't know you were going to be so vocal at
Why?
That meeting.
Why?
Because I. You know what, Greg? I'm not a. I rarely listen to your show.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Why are you listening today?
I'm listening. I actually wasn't. I was on CBC.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
I phoned someone to say how good your opening had been early in the morning. I didn't want to phone them earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that was a great opening. He says, oh, well, they're talking about the board meeting right now. So I switched.
Okay. And why don't
but
you listen? Why is it? Why is it? Can I just ask you?
There was no great opening.
Can I ask you?
There was no great opening. You had to run home and get it.
No,
what are you talking
after
about?
You ran
my
after
stuff?
I ran home.
Is she talking about my stuff?
So, but the thing is that why just so.
Yeah, she's talking about me. I was a great opening, Greg.
Yeah, you were a great opening, Bob. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was. It was really good. The so Sonia. Do you discriminate about who with whom you actually have discourse with about as members? So, like it seems to me that you're saying you're surprised I was so vocal. Why would that surprise you? I wonder.
Anyway.
No. I want to know. I want to know. Why would you want to avoid conversation in this regard? Why would you want to do that? You're talking about wanting to have discussions and so on, and then you're sort of shutting down now when I ask you a question. I think it's a fairly reasonable question. I'm just asking you why you would think
I'd love to discuss it with you off air, Greg.
All right. When do you want to do that?
How about after December 6th? That's my focus right now.
Okay. All right, December 6th. I mean, after the grand prize draw?
No, actually, after the anniversary date of the Montreal Massacre, that I'm one of the key organizers in an event that happens, and that takes a lot of energy.
All right. Well, do you know how to get in touch with me?
I'll make sure that I find out. Do you want to give me a number?
internationalconnection@rogers.com for any of you who wish to get in touch with me. internationalconnection@rogers.com.
Great.
And frankly, I would like to have this conversation on the air. I see no reason why it's... I mean, I'm not going to force you to do it, but I think that I don't understand what we could possibly be talking about that wouldn't be good on the air. But anyway, that's up to you. I can't force you, obviously. You phoned in, but I'd think about that. Think about having an actual conversation on the air where everybody can hear it. It's radio, you know,
I love radio, Greg.
Well, yeah, and we're doing real radio. I'm actually having a real conversation with you. I'm not pretending to be someone I'm not.
Well, we'd have to be across so we could actually see each other's body language.
Well, come in. Do you want to come in?
Greg, why don't I talk to you after, okay?
I'm sorry. I'm inviting you into the show to be on the air with me.
She's not a radio man.
Not a radio man. that's a Marshall McLuhan thing.
Yeah, great. Before she goes, it's Sonia, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Sonia. Someone the other day, November 29th, yesterday, posted the significance of December 6th. In 1917, Halifax explosion. 1933, U.S. federal judge ruled that James Joyce's novel Ulysses is not obscene. 1989, the École Polytechnique massacre. Marc Lapine, an anti-feminist gunman, murders 14 young women at the École Polytechnique in Montreal. 1998, Hugo Chavez is elected president on December 6th. On 2001, I didn't know this, the Canadian province of Newfoundland is renamed Newfoundland and Labrador. Is that well known, Greg? Do you refer to Newfoundland as Newfoundland and Labrador?
No, I don't.
And in 2006, NASA reveals photographs taken by Mars Global Surveyor suggesting the presence of liquid water on Mars. That's all happening on December 6th. So that's what Sonia is celebrating, December 6th.
Now, Sonia, just before we go.
Right.
I've talked to lots of people about discussing things at CKLN, and I am very open to discuss things. I spend a lot of time talking about it, and they never get in touch with me. Now, if you don't want to get in touch with me, that you don't have to, but am I actually going to hear from you?
Greg, as I was listening to your show, I went to the CKLN site.
Yes.
I went up to see what's new. I noticed that even though I was told at that meeting last Sunday, that they were going to have board meetings every second or third Thursday, there's
right.
nothing on the site. I then looked at the board of directors, the new board directors. I actually wrote down Sam Snap's information because he's the new station manager,
mm-hmm.
and I wrote down a note to contact him and say, hey, if you want to try to make things work and try to ease out, this is, you know. And I will also contact you, but I definitely am not an email person. I will contact you. I will email you with my phone number, and then we can have a discussion.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I don't mind. It's just, I don't want to give my phone number out over the air
I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah. Am I threatening you?
No, but I'm not afraid to have a conversation with you.
All right, very good. It's just that I have had people who say they're going to get in touch with me and have some conversation and then don't. Who have something against me, or I get this feeling that there's that I've done something to you personally. But I just get that weird feeling from you. Have I done something personally to you?
No.
Okay. All right, Sonia. Thanks for showing an interest in coming to the meeting. And at CKLN, and taking an interest, you were one of a very few people that did.
Thanks for being in the struggle.
And your participation, hopefully, has led to something maybe that'll improve things. So I salute you. So many people didn't bother to come down. I mean, that promo was played. That AGM promo was played for almost 2 weeks, four times a day or five times a day, and you know, you'd think that people would be interested to come down, but it seems like the really core group are involved, and you're one of them. So I salute you. I've seen you at board meetings and taking an interest in what's going on. So good
and
for
Greg,
you.
I've also gone to the Take Back the Other Side meeting, right? I went to the big one, the Other Side Take Back Our Radio, where you get the other side of the story.
CKLN. One of the sides of the story.
So that's it. That's the whole thing. There are many sides.
There are.
And I really, I'll just let you know that I did not, in the past I've been a donor, and we've also, as Women Won't Forget December 6th, I bought a brick for them, and I really like CKLN, but I didn't pay a pledge this year until I knew that that was required for the AGM.
Right.
Attend the AGM.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I have a little bit of, I'd like to have a little discussion with the station about how that pledge amount was determined, because $50 may be exorbitant for some people.
Well, I'll tell you how it's done. I can tell you right now, for everybody, for everybody's benefit. The board can decide at their whim or at any time, I mean, maybe whim is the wrong word to use. The board of directors can get together at any time and set any level of donation or membership fee, let's put it that way, to be a member of CKLN, a community donation. That's their contribution. They can do it at any time. And these have been changed a couple of times over the last two or three years. Often just in a board meeting where no one from the community or anybody was there, and the information not very well distributed to the people who might be affected by it. And so it's within the bylaws of the organization, mm-hmm. that this can be done. But I don't know whether it was made particularly clear when fundraising was going on.
Right.
So... but then again, there have been other conditions that the board has made in past incarnations. I'm going back years now, where there were decisions made in a board meeting about such things that would preclude certain people from coming to the meetings if they didn't give their money within 30 days or something like that. So this is all can be done by the board of directors, and it's all within the bylaws. In fact, I know it's dull to do this, and it's hard to even to take the time. Your eyes start glazing over as you're reading them. But if you really want to understand, if you want to be involved in the station, you have to read the bylaws. It's absolutely essential, because there are lots of things in the bylaws that you probably don't agree with. But I'll tell you something, they're in the bylaws, and that's how the organization is run. And That's governed by Industry Canada, and a lot of the bylaws are there to protect the board of directors. There are some things there that are allowed to give, that are put there to give some voice to certain areas of the membership, the staff, the community members, the students, and so on. But as in any corporation, a lot of the bias is towards the governors of the organization, and that be the board of directors. They're given certain powers and abilities beyond those of mortal men. And
for what you've told, Greg, they don't follow the bylaws actually all the time.
Well, that's it appears sometimes. I will. I won't exactly make that allegation at the moment, but yeah. there are one could make an argument. I guess some people have are often wrong about the bylaws, and I'm saying this about lots of people. I know sometimes I'll say something and then I'll go read it, and I go, well, that's not quite right, is it? I mean, it's hard to become an expert about this, and in a sense, when you do go to any of these board meetings. I mean, you, for instance, Sonia, you're saying that I asked too many questions. Well, I had every right to ask those questions, and I had every right to do it in the form that I did it. And so that's the way things are done, actually, at a meeting of members. It isn't just somebody gets up and
you're not trying to have harmony.
It's not so much that. It's that you're trying to provide, get information. The whole point of such a meeting is to be provided information. If people just want to sit there and listen to it, well, fine. But there's some people that may know about some information that may be required to put things in context and to understand what's going on to what you're being told. And this is totally within form. But it is. I think it's really important to understand them. And I'd encourage anybody, as if there wasn't a further burden to people, getting involved in such a community organization. But understanding the bylaws of it is essential, because it's the language of the organization, and it tells you when you can do something and when you can't, and when something can be done to you and when it can't. If you just go on the basis, oh, I understand democracy, I have my own view of democracy, and therefore that should govern all of my dealings, well, you're going to have a rude awakening with reading of the bylaws, because
yes,
it's just
two kinds of democracy, literate or oral.
Right.
Two kinds of democracy.
And so that would be my recommendation if you haven't already. And evidently they're available on the CKLN website now.
No, they are. They actually have the two versions.
Two versions?
Well, they have the proposed draft for January 08, and they have the old one.
Those that never happened.
Right.
Well, those are interesting to look through too, but I would concentrate on the ones that are presently in effect, because it takes a long time, and it's a very arduous process to start changing bylaws, especially in such a complete manner as is being put forward.
I know that. I've been on committees
where
we've had to create them. I've been on that committee too.
It's a long, arduous process, right?
It truly is.
And so you're more or less stuck with what you've got, and you have to make the best of what you've got and change little bits of it where you can, where you think it's really not working in favor of the whole organization. So for all of you that have not immersed yourself in it, and you'd have no reason to unless you were going to be involved in the organization at a level where you're going to a meeting, but certainly attending a meeting, and as Sonia is saying, attending a board meeting. I'll tell you what. If I learn in enough advance that there's a board meeting, I'll announce it on the show. Mm-hmm. I think more and more people should be involved, and I'm all for it.
And we might have had some say about even whether the rate should have been $50. You know, had we been sitting in the board meeting, hearing them talk about that.
Well, the thing is that here's another thing.
Might have gone in camera.
That's a hard one to go in camera. They'd have to say why they were going in camera, technically. But in camera means, for those of you that don't know, it means when the board meets in secret. And usually it's about legal matters and things that they can't talk about to the public. It's very difficult to start going in camera to discuss things that relate to the public. In other words, how you become a member, what contribution you have to make to become a member. I mean, that can't be happening in secret. So it certainly can't decide it in secret. Or you can't have it enacted in secret so that nobody knows. That's just beyond the pale. But and I'm not saying that was done necessarily, but Where were we with that? I'll announce the meetings on the air if I know about them in advance. Some of them happen within 24 hours.
They right, but call... see, Sonia brought up a point
that
you wanted to clarify.
Yeah, sorry, what was that?
No, I'm fine.
No, what was it, Sonia?
I have no idea.
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought there. So
it was something about the, she said, the price, the membership fee, whether that could be determined publicly. Or then she said, no, it was in camera. And she said, no, that would
have been public. I know what I was going to say. Sometimes the meetings happen within 24 hours' notice. There's some kind of emergency board meeting or something. And those are often the most interesting ones to go to. For instance, the emergency board meeting that saw us, Daniel Bechert and I, removed from the air was an emergency board meeting. It was a real emergency to get us off the air. So that's why I think for those of you that are listening that want to keep up with these things, I think I'm a good contact to do that with because I'm interested. I check the magic cork board outside to see whether there are these announcements put up there that allegedly are put there to announce a board meeting in the required time. And if you write to me, I'll get back to you and I'll tell you as soon as I know that there's such a meeting is occurring. So if you want to use me to do that, I'm perfectly willing to act on your behalf.
Yeah, so Greg, you're the fake station manager, Greg.
Well, I'm gonna help you. I don't care who you are or what you want to do or anything. If you want to be informed of what's going on here, write to me, internationalconnection@rogers.com, and I'll get you information that you wish to receive. I'll put you on a little list and send you off stuff as I know it. Does that seem fair, Sonia?
That's fair.
So, and we'll take it from there.
In a timely manner.
In a timely manner, yes. When I've got 5 minutes. All right, Sonia, thanks a lot for your call. I appreciate it. And do get in touch with me. I would like to speak with you.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. All right.
Very good, Greg. You're doing a good job here. It's a good public meeting we're having.
Yeah. So if you want to call... let me see whether somebody's on the phone here still. Let me check. Are you still there? Okay, I'm going to hang up on you. Somebody's phoning in. Hang on a bit, Liz. Yeah, we've got many lines going here. We'll get to Liz in a moment. This is sort of an extended version of the International Connection. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Greg.
Oh, Dave, too.
Thanks for doing an extra long show today. Thanks for sticking it to the man again, Greg.
Oh, well, no problem.
Okay. And what kind of people would listen to CBC over you? Who does that, Greg? What kind of people?
I don't know.
We know what kind of people they are, okay?
All right, okay. Okay.
That's all, but keep sticking it to the man, Greg.
All right, I'll keep sticking it to the man.
And the women, too, if they need it.
All right.
Okay, bye, Greg.
Okay, okay.
I'm suspicious of the level of enjoyment that Dave, too, gets out of this show. I think that this is the kind of perversity. He just loves this show in some kind of perverse way.
Well, I think we might have this. This could be another caller. You're on the air.
Is this house arrest, Liz?
Yes. Hello.
Hi, Greg. This is Ken.
Ken Taylor. Hello.
Yeah. How
Welcome
you doing?
To the show. Ken Taylor was at our meeting,
yeah.
CKLN meeting last Sunday.
Sunday, I was.
And go ahead, Ken.
I experienced difficulty even getting in the front door. I didn't think it was a problem for me, but the individual that was handling the lift, as soon as I gave my name, this individual said to me, "I'm sorry, Mr. Taylor, but your check bounced." And I informed him of the facts, and I was quite forceful, and I thought that was appropriate. In any case, I did gain entry, and I did stay for the whole meeting. I did cast my vote because I'm a bona fide member. And,
I like the way you said that, bona fide, bona fide.
All right. So
I like
anyway,
that.
I was very, apart from being a listener, I'm not that familiar with the organization. I'm getting to know some of the individuals, the directors, getting to know the names and what they might be about. I could tell your listeners right now that I was very unimpressed with the way the people, I would guess these would be, directors were handling the election itself,
Okay.
Indeed, the election for the two volunteer members, I guess they're called, had to be redone. And I think that was strictly due to incompetence. So I see, unfortunately, a great deal of what could be seen as shady dealings, misunderstandings, gross incompetence, never mind the whole issue or issues surrounding the finances. That's just a whole can of worms right there. So that was my impression, if I could leave it that way, of my first attendance to one of their meetings, that is to say a CKLN general meeting. But I wanted to also make a comment about the idea, the unfortunate idea of apathy. And it exists with listeners and members of CKLN. And I would have to say it exists because it exists within society at just about every level. And it seems to be a greater malaise than perhaps we've ever seen in our lifetimes across the board. And I say that also because I'm an individual who does now and has in the past belonged to a union organization, and I've been part of that executive holding various posts, and I was instrumental in helping to fashion bylaws for the local of the union that I'm in. So I know something about the bylaws. I've just taken time over the last week to read the bylaws for CKLN. And you're absolutely correct. This kind of document, one has to read carefully many times over and bring to meetings and have it as a foundation to understand how things can move forward. I find the bylaws for CKLN conflicted. I can't give you specific examples right now. I don't have it in front of me, but they ought to be in the future open to some revision so that things, meetings, et cetera, can run more smoothly. But that's my overall impression of my experience from last Sunday.
Yeah. Well, it was an extremely interesting experience. It took me a day to get over it. I don't know. I guess you had to go to work the next day. Did you, Ken?
I did.
I my head was spinning.
And in terms of your presentation, I've seen, shall we say, forceful presentations from individuals at all sorts of meetings at the past, non-CKLN meetings, where passions can run high and there is intelligence and passion brought to bear. I think you were completely legitimate in your position and the questions that you had to reiterate because there was obfuscation, among other things, to having clarification, to clearly answering the questions. So they had to be repeated, and I must say congratulations to you just for having the fortitude to stand up and be counted. And, you know, if hopefully in the future, if CKLN can attract some other members with half the passion and that seek transparency and want to build something meaningful for CKLN, we have a chance of some success, I'd say.
Well, I think that the most frightening aspect of leaving that meeting was thinking about the six community members that came out that were International Connection listeners and supporters. If they hadn't been there, imagine that, Ken.
Yeah.
Imagine that this would have been seen as a successful, legitimate meeting. And well, I won't go into what I think the outcome would have been. It wasn't. But let me say, the people from the International Connection, Ken Taylor included, Tom, who you heard earlier from,
yeah,
and other people, were instrumental in pushing things in a certain direction. One can't say that this is a great direction, perhaps. I hope it is, but direction nonetheless. It just shows how one program here on this station can make a big difference. It I don't think our program and the listeners of it should have disproportional effect on the station necessarily. I think there should be more listeners from more different programs and hopefully having a good effect. But I think our listeners And I'm sure I'm very biased here, but I think I'm speaking also, I think if it was put before a third party, I think they'd agree. I think I have, the people that came out to my meeting, to the meeting, were our principled people with, and that's what I expect of them, and that's what I look to them for. I look to all of the people, Ken here on the line and so on. I look to them for guidance. I go to them for guidance. And I want their opinion. I want to know what they have to say because I know they have a lot more experience in dealing with these kind of situations, which happen a lot.
Yeah, it's truly grassroots politics, and which sometimes can be vile. It can be really base. It can constitute or it can be, shall we say, motivated by just dishonesty, power seeking for the sake of it. And CKLN's been around now, I think, 25 years.
Right.
And the international connection has been, you know, sort of part of the foundation there.
Right here, 20, the man...
24 years of the international connection.
The man that's speaking there is the man who invented the international connection, who created the international connection itself.
I think that's fantastic.
A man of integrity.
That's right. You are, Bob.
my hat's off. My hat off to Bob Dobbs for that.
But I do.
But that is, you know, I don't know of any other programs within the schedule of CKLN. I don't think there are any other programs that can make such a claim. And therefore, to be around this amount of time and be relevant, highly relevant, you know, well, all I can hope for is that other people, especially younger people who are starting to listen, students of ours, and et cetera, that catch the bug a little bit. You know, they're interested, they're motivated, and they get the idea of community radio and the ideals behind it that another generation or two that are coming up right now, you know, I'm thinking idealistically, but I'm hoping that some of them are out there and they're willing to give it a push in the right direction. Because as long as they, all of these constituents, are not interested or want to remain on the sidelines, the kind of skullduggery that's been going on for a number of years now is likely to continue, because there's nobody except a few that are basically calling for accountability.
We can see the demographics of our little group is an older demographic. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And I came in here the other day and I was speaking with someone who was just a visitor, and they thought I was a faculty member.
Uh-huh.
They thought I was an important person when I came in the room, and I said, "No, I'm just I'm not important at all. I do a radio show here." And the person said, "Oh, you know, they get when you tell somebody that you're in the mass media, supposedly, they know they've never heard of you, let alone listen to the station. They get a little bit nervous, and they give you an excuse as to why they don't know who you are." Because really, you should be famous if you're in the mass media. And this one young woman said, "I haven't listened to radio in 3.5 years."
Uh-huh.
And so the idea of listening to radio is it's going away. It's a moribund medium. And why is it moribund? Because partly, I think, because there isn't anything interesting on. There aren't, we're hearing phony stuff that people don't find relevant. So they've gone and put together their own media. But for those of you who are hanging in and who are listening to the radio and who do enjoy it, I think the international connection provides something that, well, I can say right now what's going on, and that no other show provides. It's, you know, we're hearing from actual members of our station. These are people who are members, and to be a member of this station is something set out in our bylaws. And
it's a privilege, Greg. It's a privilege.
It's a privilege. Like, for instance, this is a good meeting run. Here, I'll give you an example of a meeting that's run well. Here it is. It's an audio of this.
Now, today, the club will study the bylaws.
Why?
Well, because bylaws are important, that's why.
I've heard of in-laws and outlaws, but I don't dig bylaws.
And I don't mess with outlaws.
Gosh, Flea, in-laws can give you trouble, and outlaws can give you trouble. So why take a chance on bylaws?
Good thinking, Droop. All in favor of outlawing in-laws, outlaws, and bylaws, vote by honking Snorky Snozzle.
You know something? I'd like to say bye-bye to these bylaws and so long to these silly bananas.
See, that's a good meeting. That's a good meeting. That's the kind of meeting. That's the kind of meeting I'd like to be involved in. You know, that's one notch up, right
was,
there.
Was Groucho Marx involved there?
No.
I heard somebody honking.
Yeah.
That was fun. Well, anyway, thank you.
Thanks
Rick.
A lot, Ken. Thank you so much for coming out. I know I've thanked you in email, but here I'm going to thank you on the radio officially.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Publicly. For those of you that would like to phone in, the lines are now clear. Or the line is now clear. 416-595-1655. Should you wish to comment on what we're doing or comment about anything that we've been discussing this morning, we have not much time left. I'm going to do something now. I'm going to do a bit of a story, Bob. I may as well. Why not?
Okay.
In this lull that we have before us. There's this guy who has been doing a show, a radio show. So we're going to do a radio-related thing. And his name is Dr. Fred Goodwin. And here's a sample of the program.
Major underwriting for The Infinite Mind is provided by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation and the U.S. Center for Mental Health Services.
So there's this program called The Infinite Mind in the United States, and here's the host of it.
I'm Dr. Fred Goodwin, and this is The Infinite Mind.
And so it's Dr. Fred Goodwin. Now, what's interesting about Dr. Fred Goodwin is that, and he's one of these guys who goes on the air, and he's a doctor, and he's talking about how I'm not even sure what the show's about, but here's an idea of what he's talking about satisfaction.
Satisfaction. Think you would be more satisfied with a larger house, a fatter wallet, a more successful career? We all have our if-onlys.
So it's that kind of show. You've heard of it before, right? But this particular influential psychiatrist, who was the host of this popular, evidently popular NPR program, The Infinite Mind, he's been a bit naughty, Bob, as radio show hosts tend to be. He earned at least $1.3 million from 2000 to 2007, giving marketing lectures for drug makers, income not mentioned on his program.
Wow.
The psychiatrist and radio host, Dr. Frederick K. Goodwin, is the latest in a series of doctors and researchers whose ties to drug makers had been uncovered by Senator Charles E. Grassley, a Republican of Iowa. Dr. Goodwin, a former director of the National Institute of Mental Health, is the first news media figure to be investigated. Dr. Goodwin's weekly radio programs have often touched on subjects important to the commercial interests of the companies for which he consults. This is on NPR, National Public Radio, Bob. This is community radio. Imagine this guy. Imagine him going on and promoting commercial interests that he had something to do with.
Well, NPR is probably a corporation. He just was going along with the business
side. That's right. Again, a corporation. In a program broadcast on September 20th, 2005, he warned that children with bipolar disorder who were left untreated could suffer brain damage, a controversial view. But as we'll be hearing today, Dr. Goodwin told his audience, modern treatments, mood stabilizers in particular, had been proven both safe and effective in bipolar children.
That's a lie.
Yeah. So here's more of Dr. Goodwin. I'll give you a little taste of his program.
But what if those dreams came true? Would you really be a whole lot happier?
Yeah, so he's talking about...
the show sounds phony, Greg. It's ridiculous.
Here he is. He's Dr. Fred Goodwin.
I'm Dr. Fred Goodwin.
So here he is. It's a whole show about satisfaction.
But the trends I just noted raise the question of whether having more money, that is, above a modest level of comfort, can actually put satisfaction at risk.
Let me think about that. $1.3 million from 2000 to 2007.
He answered the question for himself.
Yeah. It put his radio show at risk. That's what it did. It put his radio program at risk.
Good investigative journalism here, Greg.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody else knows this. Only you.
So he says the same day that Dr. Goodwin said that item about children giving mood stabilizers to bipolar children, that same day, GlaxoSmithKline paid Dr. Goodwin $2,500 to give a promotional lecture for its mood stabilizer drug, Lamictal, at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Resort in Naples, Florida. In all, GlaxoSmithKline paid him more than $329,000 that year for promoting Lamictal, records given to congressional investigators show. In an interview, Dr. Goodwin said that Bill Lichtenstein, the program's producer, knew of his consulting, but that neither thought, quote, getting money from drug companies could be an issue. In retrospect, that should have been disclosed. But
Greg, this is all relevant to me because right now there's someone lobbying that I get a show on NPR. I mean, this could be profitable.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can figure out who you can sell it to, now you can get money on the side. It's all getting money on the side. Here's more.
I can figure it.
Here's more. Yeah, I know you could figure that one out. So many do. I haven't figured a way out. How do I get money on the side with this show? How the heck do I do it? I got the. You hear listeners or I don't want to have that conversation with you on the air, Greg. I don't want to do that. You know, you're asking.
You're evil.
You're asking too many questions at that thing. I did that. They were just going on a little too long.
And you can make money, Greg. Why don't you get the job at the door where you take people's membership fees?
One needs to delve into what it is about life that contributes most to satisfaction. As you'll hear from our guest today, it's the old-fashioned stuff.
Yeah.
Stable marriages, close family ties, good friendships, and involvement in religion.
Yeah, and taking money from drug companies that you don't tell your listeners when you start telling them what drugs they should be taking. Yeah, that leads to satisfaction. Yeah, that's good.
Look at the slickness of his program. He's an Android meme.
So what could explain the link between religion and satisfaction?
Oh, now you're going to tell us.
Perhaps it's because religion emphasizes moral values over material.
I forgot that.
Religion is morality.
Not surprisingly, it turns out that gratitude and altruism both correlate with satisfaction.
Then, this guy's
correlate.
A trip.
There's a big
higher
word.
And higher income.
Hold on. What does it say? Oh, this is another clip.
The pursuit of higher and higher income.
Yeah, that's what you're doing, Dr. Goodwin. Higher and higher income. It's not good enough just to get the money from the show you do. You've got to go out and get money from drug companies and then go shill for them on your radio show.
That's his mood stabilizer.
Yeah. You're on the air. You're on the air. Go.
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 Go. You're on the
air.
Do it live. 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 I'll write it and I'll do it live. Okay, go ahead.
Okay,
yes?
If I'm in Hawaii, I want to know whether he thinks that he sees the sun before people in North America or after. Because you're out there in the Pacific. I started thinking about this when they were talking about Y2K back in 99 and 2000 about how the whole world is going to end once 2000 comes in, but 2000 doesn't come in at the same time all over the world, so it's impossible for planes to drop out of the air because of the simultaneous collapse of computer systems.
Wow, what are you on out there? Where are you? What island are you on? I'm lost.
Hey,
look, have you been listening? Are you with Sonia listening to the CBC? I don't get it.
No. But my question is,
I think
Bob understands. Yeah. Out there.
Point of information. Yes, go ahead.
In the Pacific, are you seeing the sun rise after North America or before North America?
I know. Can I answer that question for you, Bob?
No, Greg. I'm going to answer. I can answer it.
Go.
Okay. I'm in Hawaii. And I'm 2 hours towards North America from New Zealand. So New Zealand is like 2 hours ahead of me, but you got the international dateline that complicates it. The sun shows up first on New Zealand. It shines on New Zealand first. The day begins there. It goes around the planet. In Hawaii, I get the sun at the end. So I am technically 5 hours behind you in Toronto. Half the year, the other half the year when we don't have daylight saving, or you don't, I'm 6 hours behind you. So I'm getting the sun at the end of the day, though I'm very close, just above New Zealand, a little off at an angle, and it begins there. So I'm way behind you guys.
That's according to, international datelines, right? Like, the date changes in Hawaii after it, like, it changes in New Zealand first, right? Is that right?
Yes.
So January 1st happens in New Zealand first, and then it happens in Hawaii last.
Yes.
Okay, according to how they set it up. But it wouldn't, because the Earth, because the Earth is a sphere, there's no corner that the sun has to go around. It's just a continuous gradual curve. There is no beginning and there is no end. So it's only really mankind that says that, okay, New Zealand is seeing the first of the sun, or Japan or whatever.
Okay.
I want to know if you really agree with that. Because there is no, there's no corner where it's like, okay, now it's morning here. It's just like if New Zealand is 2 hours behind you, then you could say that Hawaii gets the sun first, and then New Zealand. Know what I mean?
No, New Zealand is 2 hours, is a day ahead of me.
Can we have a definitive answer, and then let's move on?
Yeah, the definitive answer is what I'm an expert on this. It's a conflict of human-made visual space caused by print paper measurement conflicting with the tactile experience of reality that's not mediated.
Okay.
You don't know, do you? I just answered it.
You just don't know what I said.
Okay, you got to tell that to me in terms that most people could understand, because I don't know what you're talking about.
Here, I've got to take you. I got to take you off.
Great,
there, there. I've had it.
I can answer. the thing is that the print mechanism, Greenwich Mean Time, came in, you know, a couple hundred years ago, once they had the technology to measure it from the eye's point of view. The eye, E-Y-E.
Okay.
Yes.
But the actual full sensory experience of the sun is all over the place simultaneous. So it's man-made, but the man-made technology that created the
1 minute to auto-destruct.
1 minute to auto-destruct.
I think that was a follower of mine calling in.
You think so?
A planted call. great. Come on.
Yeah. What?
Get serious.
Get serious?
More calls.
More calls? I can't just generate calls out of nowhere.
You mean we're not having any? Hey, listen. Montquaz just sent me an email.
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
It says, today's show, I click on it. I didn't get it, but I've already asked Greg to send me his archive.
Rabbi, my life is now a nightmare. Rabbi, my life is now a nightmare.
Yeah, so anyway, let's go on with Dr. Goodwin here. This is the kind of music that goes on this former show of Fred Goodwin, because they fired him, I think. This is the kind of music they have, sort of new age music. Yeah, I need a theme like that. You're on the air.
Are we having a fist fight on the Titanic, or can you...
I want to bring up, Greg, are you allowed to talk about the memo given to the staff by the manager about the financial abyss that C. Cowan's in?
I don't know. It's in print. I have no idea.
You mean they're not
I'll
taking money
what
anymore?
I understand, it is over. It is over. This station, I don't know how this is going to continue, this station.
Well, I don't know. Have you got anything to say, caller, in the waning moments of the show? Because we do have to go soon.
Well, no, you can't answer the question then.
Oh, what is it? Are we having a fist fight on the Titanic?
Yeah, I guess
maybe that is the case. I don't know. I think this station has undergone all kinds of times before where it looked like it was curtains, and somehow it miraculously survives. The whole international economy can come down and C. Cowan can keep going. So I think it's impervious. I think it's the immortal. It's the immortal. It's the Christopher George in that short-lived television series. I mean, even the immortal television series couldn't last as long as CKLN can.
That would be my first starting point. I'm going to get involved.
What are you going to say?
Well, you know, I mean...
keep it real?
Yeah. Well, I guess it's the end of the show. You're getting tired.
Rabbi.
What do you mean?
My life is now a nightmare.
What do you mean, keep it real? How am I going to keep it more real than I'm doing it right now?
Well, no, you have been, but I mean, you know, I'm... How can we find out if it's already over?
You try and find out if capitalism is all over yet.
Yeah, you try and get to the bottom of that one. I mean, we're getting philosophical now. You can say
yeah, we don't want to call her. This show may not be on next week because of what we're doing today.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say that. It's Bob saying that.
Yeah, that's me.
That's Bob saying that.
Well, anyways, that's the question that burns in my little brain.
All right.
I don't have an answer.
I don't have an answer. Thanks, Tom.
Okay.
Bye.
It's the same. CKLN is a microcosm of Wall Street. What's going on? We don't know if capitalism is over. People say it's over.
So Dr. Goodwin was trying to introduce this woman with a Jewish story.
We begin today with a story about satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Penina Schramm is an internationally known storyteller and author of 7 books of Jewish folktales.
Once there was a poor man who went to see his rabbi. "Oi, rabbi," he said, "I have such problems."
Yeah, so then Mr. Goodwin then plugs her books at the end of the bit. She does it like a 30-second bit, and then you hear
Penina
this.
Penina Schramm's many books include Jewish Stories One Generation Tells Another. To learn more about Ms. Schramm or purchase one of her books or CD, visit us on our website at theinfinitemind.com.
Yeah, everybody's plugging. Everybody's plugging all the time. Playing music like this. And anyway, we've got to play our music now because Miguel Lima is in the house. Yes, new age music.
Can you still hear me, Greg?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
Yeah, because my battery's going. Can you hear the pinging?
Yeah, I can. Well, no, I can't hear the pinging. I can hear you kind of. Okay, here, we're going to play our little ending. There it is. There's our ending. Well, thanks very much for being with us, those of you that hung in there, or those of you that came over from the CBC.
Adios, muchacho.
Or listening over there, listening to the important work that's being done at the CBC.
And I've been here for 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
So without any food, thank me.
Yes, thank you, Bob. Thank you for being here. I've been around for, most of the 3.5 hours. I went home for a moment, didn't eat anything, and then came back. Found out that I didn't really need to go home in the first place. I don't know how that happened.
Because you were gone, my opening was outstanding.
That's right. Many people have said that. The opening was outstanding. And let me see if I've got a... maybe get out of this sooner if there's things that have to be played, or I've lost track. Yeah, I'm going to... Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to go now. Goodbye, everybody. It's going to be abrupt, all right?
See you next week.
Yeah, bye.
The views expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated.